It's still time to call the church and call all this off. I know a lot of you come here, you watch TV, you wait every night for somebody to come on here and give you an answer for your lives, waiting for someone that'll come and say, hey, this is it. I don't have to settle for defeat anymore. I can rise up out of my routine. I can get a hold of myself. I don't have to lose. I can win. There's something inside me that's not going to let me go down anymore. But I'm not the guy.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're gonna stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
Lesson 1. Basic hip. Basic to hip is the concept of digging, to dig. Mr. Geats Romo, how would you define dig?
Well, you know, man, like when you dig something.
Well, yes, but...
Well, dig, baby. It's like, you know, when you dig some chick or some cat. You know, when you pick up on something, you dig it, you dig?
To dig, then, would mean to like, to understand, or to appreciate.
Dig, it's like... No, it's more like in music, you dig? You know what is a quarter tone? Like you get a note in there between C and C sharp, and that's its own sound, you know? I mean, you can't call it C because it isn't. That's like dig. Dig means dig. Like, if you don't dig and you say dig, I dig where you're at. Like I'm the wrong cat, it's the wrong word. Dig?
Ladies and gentlemen, now you begin to see one of our problems with the hip language. Each hip word or phrase carries with it an implication of the speaker's background and his involvement in hip society. In other words, the phrase, I dig, not only means I understand, but I am a special sort of person who understands in a very special way.
Yeah, that is exactly what I said.
In other words, I'm saying I am hip.
Dig yourself, baby. You got a way to go.
Drama Society put on an evening of triple X Roman plays. I thought it sounded really sexy, so I went along. It was just 30 plays.
Asked me
If you could have any superpower in the world, what would it be? I said Cold War Russia. Quite a normal person. I'm very good friends with 25 letters of the alphabet. I don't know why. God. I don't begrudge anyone who does. I think it's brilliant that you have something to believe in and commit your life to. What I don't like are celebrities that jump on the religious bandwagon just for the sake of appearing cool and trendy, because I firmly believe that a Christ is for life and not just for dogmas. It's a brilliant joke. My girlfriend's family are quite religious. I remember the first time I went to stay with her at her parents' house and her dad wouldn't let us sleep together, which was a shame because he's very attractive. Now, she doesn't like that joke, but it's not her least favourite. This is her least favourite joke. Because I wrote a joke about black people. And she said, you can never tell that joke to a comedy audience because it plays off negative, inaccurate stereotypes of black people. And if there's a black person in your audience, they might stab you.
They say I'm not the average black girl because I'm so well-spoken, poised, full of etiquette, a white man's token. You know, I remember my ex's mother telling me I didn't know how I was going to react when he brought home a black girl, but I like you because you talk so white. Well, when did me talking right equate to me talking white? They say I'm not the average black girl. No, 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 not the average black girl, because the pigment in my skin is just a shade lighter than that black girl over there. You know the black girl over there. The black girl with the nappy hair. The black girls whose elbows can't skip a day without lotion. Whose hearts and heads are filled up with self-hate and bottled up emotion. The cocoa brown girls who have to face society every day and be tough. Because no matter how good they straighten their hair, their good is still not good enough. Oh, see, luckily for me, see, I don't fall in that category. See, they say I'm not the average black girl because I speak with so much class. And I don't have too much, but just enough ass. And not too much, but just enough pizzazz. You know, just a little bit of attitude. Because you don't want to come off as one of those average black girls and come off as rude. You know, popping their gum and shaking their neck. Yeah, because those black girls get, like, no respect. But see, luckily for me, see, I get a pass. Because the melanin in my skin matches that brown paper bag. And my father, brother, and men that I date pants don't sag. And when I speak, my tongue pronounces every syllable. And the combed part down the middle of my hair is naturally visible. Oh, it must be a weave, but she must be mixed. Because we all know the average black girl ain't got that good. or when I walk into a room full of white men, they all stare. It must be the long lengths of my unaverage black girl hair. See, they say I'm not the average black girl because I corrected the professor when he used the word conversate. Converse. The word is converse. And in case you didn't get the memo, there are now 8, not 9 planets in the universe. And when you're watching the numbers on your stocks move up and down, remember Oklahoma in a small town where one of the first Wall Streets was a black Wall Street that got mysteriously burned down? Oh, they say I'm not the average black girl. Well, let's flip the script and rewind this and repaint the lines that had been blurred over time, because the average black girl that I know... See, the average black girl that I know made 19 trips through the Underground Railroad to free the slaves. Sat on segregated buses, refused to get up and pave new waves. See, the average black girl that I know, the average black girl that I know were Egyptian queens like Hatshepsut and Nitocris who were ruling dynasties and whole armies of men. Excuse me why I set fire to this poem on my pen, because I am tired. Tired of the stereotypes black girls have fallen into because of American mentality. Oh, but not half as tired as Ella Baker, Diane Nash, Septima Poinsett Clark. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. Miss Fannie Lou Hamer, Daisy Bates, Anna Arnold Hedgman, and Dorothy Height are far more tired than I am. But do you think the ones who say I'm not the average black girl even give a damn? No. So pardon me if I can't openly accept your compliments. Pardon me if I can't openly accept your compliment. It's just the average black girl that I know. The average black girl that I know had courage that surpassed her every fear and fought for justice and equality year after year. So as I construct these words, pardon me as I shed a tear, because I'm not half the black girl she was. I am not half the black girl she was. See, there's a minor clause. See, she was out there fighting, breaking, and changing laws. So I bow down to my black queen standing in the merit of her work. And as America's society continuously throws these supercilious words unto me, I say no. I'm not the average black girl. I can only aspire to be.
Oh, Lord! Gonna get some rags and some rolls and resumizes. Every day. Long as I'm away. We'll be right back.
Now, having somewhat successfully established my press credentials, and because you and I have at least one thing in common, which is that all of us deal with language all the time, I thought it might be nice today for me to come to you with some of my language complaints. Certainly not to blame them on you, although, of course, you are implicated. And not that you can help it. I mean, the problem is really with the people you cover, the politicians, the celebrities, and the lawyers. And although their level of insincerity is astonishing, it's still kind of fun to hear them talk. In particular, it's fun to listen to Washington talk. Whenever the issue of term limits comes up, I always tell people the only term limits I'm interested in would be to limit some of the terms used by politicians. They speak, of course, with great caution, because they must take care not to actually say anything. Proof of this, according to their own words, is that they don't actually say things, they indicate them. As I indicated yesterday, and as the president indicated to me, but sometimes they don't indicate, they suggest. Let me suggest that as I indicated yesterday, I haven't determined that yet. See, they don't decide, they determine. If it's a really serious matter, they make a judgment. I haven't made a judgment on that yet. When the hearings are concluded, I will make a judgment, or I might make an assessment. I'm not sure. I haven't determined that yet. But when I do, I will advise you. They don't tell, they advise. I advised him that I had made a judgment. Thus far, he hasn't responded. They don't answer, they respond. He hasn't responded to my initiative. An initiative is an idea that isn't going anywhere. When he responds to my initiative, I will review his response, take a position, and make a recommendation. See, they don't read, they review, they don't have opinions, they take positions, and they don't give advice, they make recommendations. And so, at long last, after each has responded to the other's initiatives, and each has reviewed the other's responses, and everyone has taken a position, made a judgment, and offered a recommendation, now they have to do something. But that would be much too direct. So instead, they address the problem. We're addressing the problem, and we'll soon be proceeding. That's a big activity here in Washington. Proceeding. They're always proceeding or moving forward. A lot of that goes on. Senator, have you solved that problem? Well, we're moving forward on that. And when they're not moving forward, they're moving something else forward, such as the process. We have to move the process forward so we can implement the provisions of the initiative in order to meet these challenges. No one has problems anymore. Challenges. That's why we need people who can make the tough decisions. Tough decisions like how much soft money can I expect to collect in exchange for my core values? So that I can continue my work in government. Of course, no politician would admit to such a lowly station as working in government, serving the nation. I'm serving the nation. Another favorite distortion is public service. I'm in public service. I like America, don't you? The food is great, but the public service is terrible. Now, folks, a question for you. Do you think it's possible that one of these politicians, whose judgment is so poor that he honestly thinks of himself as serving the nation, might occasionally be expected to indulge in a little patriotism? Huh? What do you think? Well, of course, not only is it possible, it's inevitable, and that's when he's at his very best. That's when he trots out the really good stuff all across this great land of ours, the greatest nation on earth, the greatest nation in the history of the world. And in times of military crisis, you can be sure that someone in a suit in this town will eventually plant himself in front of a camera and carry on a great deal about the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. Now, normally, during peacetime, the politicians will refer to people in the military as our young men and women stationed around the world. But in wartime, they quickly become our brave young fighting men and women stationed halfway around the world in places whose names they can't pronounce, wondering if they'll ever see their loved ones again. For added emotional impact, sons and daughters can always be substituted for men and women. And so I think we can sum this up by saying that where the military is concerned, the extent of a politician's insincerity can be measured by how far around the world our soldiers are stationed and whether or not any of them can pronounce it. Incidentally, another way of expressing this sentiment is to say we're sending our young men and women to places the average American can't find on a map. I've always thought it was kind of funny and somewhat out of character for a politician to go out of his way to point out the low level of American intelligence when indeed his very job depends upon it. It would seem to fly in the face of that other rhetorical standby of theirs, the American people are a lot smarter than they're given credit for. This is said with a straight face, although it is obvious, of course, that the proposition is being stated precisely backwards. But the politicians, God bless them, or something like that, they're at their most entertaining when they're in trouble. When they're in trouble, their explanations usually begin simply with words like miscommunication. What did you do wrong, Senator? Well, it was a miscommunication. Or I was quoted out of context. Better yet, and more ironic, they twisted my words. Such a nice touch. A person who routinely spends his days torturing the language complains, they twisted my words. Then, as the controversy continues to heat up, he moves to his next level of complaint. The whole thing has been blown out of proportion. It's always the whole thing. Apparently, no one has ever claimed that only a small portion of something was blown out of proportion. Has to be the whole thing. That's because now he's feeling the heat. And so, as time passes and more evidence comes in, he suddenly changes directions and tells us, we're trying to get to the bottom of this. Now he's on the side of law and order. It's jiu-jitsu, really. We're trying to get to the bottom of this so we can get the facts out to the American people. That's always a nice touch, American people. In fact, at this point, he might even say, I'm willing to trust in the fairness of the American people. Clearly, he's preparing us for something. And so, when finally all the facts come out and our subject seems quite guilty, he employs that sublime use of the passive voice, mistakes were made. Mistakes were made, don't look at me. Probably someone in my office. Things are moving faster now. Mistakes were made is rapidly overtaken by there is no evidence. No one has proven anything. Eventually, I will be exonerated. I have faith in the American judicial system. And that certain sign that things are closing in, whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? Whatever happened? Well, nah, yeah. Well, he's about to find out. And we know this must be true because the next thing we hear from him is, I just want to put this thing behind me and get on with my life. I just want to put this behind me. That's an expression we hear a lot these days in all walks of life. From people in all walks of life, usually the person in question has committed some unspeakable act. Yes, it's true, I strangled my wife, shot the triplets, set fire to the house, and sold my young son to an old man on the train. But now I just want to put this thing behind me. Get on with it. That's the problem in this country. Too many people getting on with their lives. I think what we really need more of is ritual suicide. You know? Never mind the press conferences. Get the big knife out of the drawer. Personally, what I want to do is to put this, I want to put this thing behind me and get on with my life. Thing behind me and get on with my life. I'll repeat that for you. Personally, I want to put this thing behind me and get on with my life. Thing behind me and get on with my life. And just to round out this section, let's hope there's a special place in hell reserved for those who have recently decided to take responsibility for their actions. That's the big thing now, taking responsibility for your actions, like it's a recent discovery. You know, he's taking responsibility for his actions. Well, isn't that wonderful? Ask him if he's willing to take responsibility for my actions, along with my alimony, my car payments, and my gambling debts.
In my regrets, I can't take back. the war on terror is a bunch of bullshit. It's just a poor excuse for you to use up on your bullets. How much money does it take to really make a full clip? 9/11 building 7, did they really pull it? And a bunch of other cover-ups. Your child's future was the first to go with budget cuts. If you think that hurts, then wait, here comes the uppercut. The school was garbage in the first place. That's on the up and up. Keep you at the bottom, but tease you with the upper crust. You get it, then they move it, so you never keeping up enough. If you turn on TV, all you see is a bunch of what the f. Do this dating so-and-so, blabbering about such and such. And that ain't Jersey Shore, homie, that's the news. And these the same people supposedly telling us the truth. Limbaugh is a racist, Glenn Beck is a racist. Gaza Strip was getting bombed, Obama didn't say ish. That's why I ain't vote for him. Next one either. I'm a part of the problem. My problem is I'm peaceful, and I believe in the people. Yeah.
Let's talk about language. Language can be manipulated and tinkered with in many ways to powerful effect. The problem is this can be done by both the good guys, the Bernie Sanders, Howard Zinns, the John Stamoses of the world, but it can also be done by the motherfucking asshole greed pirates, the societal dick blisters who still expect you to call them Mister. I wouldn't call you Mister even if you were standing in front of me with a spray bottle lightly spritzing me on the face, and therefore were by definition a mister. I would still call you Captain Face, although then at least you'd get to enjoy the captain part of it. Point is, we, the good people of this world, need to start using language as aggressively as the evil people. A good example would be how the anti-worker politicians call union-crushing bills right-to-work bills, even though on average workers in right-to-work states earn $5,500 a year less than workers in other states. So don't call it a right-to-work bill, call it the no rights for workers bill. Anyway, here are some other terms and expressions I've created. Some are as useful as the basketball wives at a math Olympics, but that's all right. First word, dicktuitiveness. Recently, Walmart tried everything they could to plant their fat ass near the site of famous pyramids in Mexico. The city officials said no again and again and again, and ultimately Walmart bribed a lower-level official to quietly change the zoning map, and they were able to get their Walmart store. Point is, Walmart did not give up in their evil pursuit. They had good dicktuitiveness. Next up, criminal for activity. This is pretty much anything fracking companies do, and if there's one corporation particularly destroying your community, then you can call them Count Fracula. Cokesuckers. I didn't create this one, but it's a good one. It applies to any politician, such as Governor Scott Walker, who is a fully funded puppet of the billionaire Koch brothers. Did you hear his last speech? It went a little like this. When people are impressed with shit that isn't that impressive, you know, you're like, I got the new Angry Birds app, and they're like, whoa, let me see! They've got mad wild disease. It seems to be contagious. And then there's plaid wild disease, which is someone wearing plaid who's also very impressed. People who are complete douchebags and at the same time think they're better than you, this goes for most politicians, a lot of wealthy people, some law enforcement, they have an ass-holier-than-thou attitude. Next up, limpotence. That's just what I think we should call impotence. I mean, makes sense, right? But it's also a good term for what the Democrats are. They're generally limpotent. When you're watching a clusterfuck between politicians and lobbyists and the media, it should be called a 100-tard pileup. A good example was watching Karl Rove melt down on Fox News while Mitt Romney was losing the election and the anchors are all pissing themselves and the cameramen are running around and Romney's advisors are in fetal position somewhere. It was a flat-out 100-tard pileup. And if you're thinking, well, what if there's only 7 people involved? Then it would be a 7-tard pileup. Don't ask stupid questions. And finally, the fuck. You can use that one however you like.
Jihad is not holy war, where's that in the worship? Murdering is not Islam, and you are not observant. And you are not a Muslim. Israel, don't take my side, cause look at how you've pushed them. Walk with me into the ghetto, this where all the kush went. Complain about the liquor store, but what you drinking liquor for? Complain about the gloom, but when you pick a broom up? Just listen in the pot, ain't gon' make it stop. A rebel in your doubts, ain't gon' make it out. If you don't become an actor, you'll never be a factor. Pills with million side effects, take them when the pain's felt. Wash them down with diet soda, killing off your brain cells. Crooked banks around the world, we're glad to give a loan today. So if you ever miss a payment, they can take your home away.
It's so bad. worse than all the violence. Fear is such a weak emotion, that's why I despise it. We scared of almost everything, afraid to even tell the truth. So scared of what you think of me, I'm scared of even telling you. Sometimes I'm like the only person I feel safe to tell it to. I'm locked inside a cell in me, I know that there's a gel in you. Consider this your belling out, so take a breath and hell a few. My screams is finally getting free, my thoughts is finally yelling down.
And legs.
Arms and legs. Eggs.
Eggs. Barnet. Barnet Fair.
Barnet School.
No. Barnet Fair, I've got lots of it.
Hair.
White mice.
For many, Cockney rhyming slang is as good as brown bread. But could technology bring it back to life on the streets of the capital? Well, you'd better Adam and Eve it. UTalk have launched the world's first Cockney language learning app. The company are adding it to over 130 languages already on offer. Their language expert has been researching how to translate this traditional dialect into a language learning tool for 2 years.
There's a lot of debate about what it should be. You know, some people use certain variants, others use different ones. It's spoken to different degrees by different people. And something that we're really keen to do is to sort of start a bit of debate about it, to invite people to send us feedback and their own versions, and then to sort of put together a slightly new version of our app with the community having taken part in it.
The language is a huge part of London's history, and the aim of the app is to ensure it doesn't die out. And you can't get much more London than this. These children are in a pie and mash shop in the east of the city, learning about the capital's culture.
I've learned Holy Ghost Toast, Lemon and Lime Time.
So, do these young Londoners think it's a good idea? You can bet your bread and honey.
I say that to say this. If you wouldn't have did what you would have did, then we wouldn't have been where we was at to get what we got.
Been dreaming of the day of judgment and wondering what I'll say. For the seasons I lost to sorrow, the sin of my wasted days. For the beauty I should have noticed, the kindness I did not give. For the body I took for granted, the life that I could have lived. Held up at the gates of heaven, held up before the light, stretched out till it was transparent. There was nothing I could hide. The preacher, he talks of glory, the streets to be paved in gold. Got a book and he got a story, and we all have heard it told. Well, I wonder how I came to thinking that he's speaking for someone above. Cause the only rule I know is true. There's no limit to the reach of love. There's no limit to the reach of love. Held up at the gates of heaven, held up before the light, stretched out till it was transparent. There was nothing I could hide. Sent back to the different world, I got so much more to learn. Everybody makes the same mistakes, and everybody takes their turn. How can you sit in judgment? How do you cast that stone? When everybody is a sinner, and everybody feels alone. Well, brother, you ain't so broken. Sister, you ain't so small. Well, everybody leaves together. But it goes it all. Hell up at the gates of heaven, hell up before the light, stretched out till it was transparent. There was nowhere I could hide. I sent back to the living world, I got so much more to learn. Everybody makes the same mistakes, and everybody waits their turn. takes this turn.
Everyone in a bustling Chinese parade is attempting to elude pursuers. Newly discovered cave paintings suggest early man was battling a lot of inner demons, and a xylophonist is shredding it. Well, 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 if it isn't the usual suspects clamoring for their weekly allotment of news summaries. This is the Onion Week in Review. A new report released today by the CDC found that as many as 14% of Americans are now intolerant to the word gluten. CDC officials advised Americans with a predisposition to such allergies to ensure they were never in the vicinity of individuals who use the phrases gluten sensitivity, gluten-free diet, or even wheat intolerance. This Tuesday, FBI officials disclosed details of a disturbing Al-Qaeda plot to just kick back, relax, and savor the inevitable collapse of the United States. Intelligence agencies confirmed the massive, coordinated plan involves terrorist cells across the globe, training specifically to take a load off and unwind as America's political infighting, class divides, moral indolence, and environmental self-destruction gradually tear the nation apart.
Our righteous warriors will devote our time to relax and really soaking in the infidel self-destruction. America's cities will be reduced to ruins. The economy will come to a standstill. And we, the blessed of Islam, will kick back, put our feet up, and enjoy the show. It's going to be great.
Reflecting on the persistent troubles it caused his sibling during childhood, local doctor Daniel Barrett told reporters this week about his average-looking brother, Kevin, who first inspired him to be a cosmetic surgeon.
As a kid, I remembered thinking that there was nothing I could do for Kevin. Watching someone you really love and care about suffer from a weak jawline or unsymmetrical features, it had a major impact on me.
And in this week's local news, a community theater gives the part of Blanche DuBois to Kathy Hamilton. In other news, a moviegoer manages to sneak candy past a teenage usher earning $7 an hour. A new app matches you with others in the vicinity who wasted $2.99 on the same app. And a Roman centurion crawling out of a New York City manhole cover is in for one wacky adventure.
Everybody shut up!
Are you? Are words not letters? Get it
the diagram of sentence two. Always say to whom, don't ever say to who. And listen up when I tell you this, I hope you never use quotation marks for emphasis. You finished second grade, I hope you can tell if you're doing good or doing well. Better figure out the difference. Irony is not coincidence. And I thought that you'd gotten it through your skull, but what's figurative and what's literal? Oh, but just now
you said
you literally couldn't get out of bed.
What?
That really makes me want to literally smack a crowbar upside your stupid head.
I read your email.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's quite apparent.
Hey. Your grammar's errant.
Your incoherent.
Saw your blog post.
Hey.
It's really fantastic.
Almost.
That was sarcastic.
Sight.
Cause you write like a spastic.
I hate these word crowds.
Your prose is dopey.
Hey.
Think you should only write it.
Drew, in this day and age, with everything being a spectrum disorder and all the stuff that's going on out there, who doesn't feel like they don't have a dusting of something?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who couldn't?
Yeah.
I feel like...
The tism, a little bit of the tism, they called it.
Tism? Mm-hmm, like the autism?
Like rheumatism?
You didn't have full, yeah, but you had a touch.
He was, a touch.
He flared up. I remember this one kid they had named Brian. He was like the first kind of wigger in our area.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a racial slur. It's just an old-fashioned term.
That's right.
And
back in the 19th century?
No, but in late 80s. And they put him in learning disabled classes, dude, just because he wanted to be urban. They'd never seen it before, you know?
Yeah.
And he'd be in there with the kids who had some real issues, you know, Down syndrome and different, like, disorders. And he was eating at the third lunch, you know, the secret lunch. and you'd have all these kids that had real mental and physical issues. And then you had this kind of wigger dude who was just wearing, like, these Oakland Raider pullovers and, like, just dribbling invisible basketballs all day.
No.
So you just never know where a diagnosis can really go astray, I guess.
My name's Tom. And I've come here today to come clean about what I do for money. Basically, I use my mouth in strange ways in exchange for cash. I usually do this kind of thing in seedy downtown bars and on street corners, so this mightn't be the most appropriate setting, but I'd like to give you guys a bit of a demonstration about what I do. Next number, I'd like to return to the classics.
We're gonna take it back.
Way back. Back into time. Thank you.
So, if you guys haven't figured it out already, my name's Tom Thumb, and I'm a beatboxer, which means all the sounds that you just heard were made entirely using just my voice, and the only thing was my voice. And I can assure you, there are absolutely no effects on this microphone whatsoever. And I'm very, very stoked. You guys are just applauding for everything, it's great. Look at this, Mum, I made it. I'm very, very stoked to be here today, you know, like representing my kinfolk and all those that haven't managed to make a career out of an innate ability for inhuman noisemaking. Because, you know, it is a bit of a niche market and there's not much work going on, especially where I'm from. You know, I'm from Brisbane, which is a great city to live in. Woo! All right, most of Brisbane's here, that's good. No, you know, I'm from Brizzy. Which is a great city to live in, but, you know, let's be honest, it's not exactly the cultural hub of the Southern Hemisphere. So I do a lot of my work outside Brisbane and outside Australia. And so the pursuit of this crazy passion of mine has enabled me to see so many amazing places in the world. So I'd like to share with you, if I may, my experiences. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to take you on a journey throughout the continents and throughout sound itself. We start our journey in the central deserts. India. Germany. Party, party, yeah. And before we reach our final destination, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to share with you some technology that I brought all the way from the thriving metropolis of Brisbane. These things in front of me here are called Chaos Pads, and they allow me to do a whole lot of different things with my voice. For example, the one on the left here allows me to add a little bit of reverb to my sound, which gives me that. And the other ones here, you know, I can use them in unison to mimic the effect of a drum machine or something like that. I can sample in my own sounds and I can play it back just by hitting the pads here. Way too much time on my hands. And last but not least, the one on my right here allows me to loop, 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 loop my voice.
So with all that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to take you on a journey to a completely separate part of Earth as I transform the Sydney Opera House into a smoky downtown jazz bar. All right, boys, take it away. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you a very special friend of mine, one of the greatest double bassists I know, Mr. Smokey Jefferson. Let's take it for a walk. Come on, baby. Gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you, the star of the show, one of the greatest jazz legends of our time, music lovers and jazz lovers alike. Please give a warm hand of applause for the one and only Mr. Peeping Tom. Take it away.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Am I the only one I know? Waging my wars behind my face and above my throat. Shadows will scream that I'm alone. Oh, oh.
Range from up, down, and sideways. Thank God it's Friday, cause Fridays will always be better than Sundays, cause Sundays are my suicide days. I don't know why they always seem so dismal. Thunderstorms, clouds, snow, and a slight drizzle. Whether it's the weather or the letters by my bed, sometimes death seems better than the migraine in my head. Let it be said what the headache represents. It's me defending in suspense, it's me suspended in a defenseless test, being tested by a ruthless examiner that's represented best by my depressed thoughts. I do not have writer's block. My writer just hates the clock. It will not let me sleep. I guess I'll sleep when I'm dead. And sometimes death seems better than the migraine in my head.
Am I the only one I know? Waging my wars behind my face and above my throat. Shadows will scream that I'm alone. But I know.
Pardon me.
me for yelling, I'm telling you, green gardens are not what's growing in my psyche. It's a different me, a difficult to beast, a feasting umber down trees. Freeze frame, please let me paint a mental picture portrait, something you won't forget. It's all about my forehead and how it is a door that holds back contents that make Pandora's box contents look non-violent. Behind my eyelids are islands of violence, my mind shipwrecked. This is the only land my mind could find. I did not know it was such a violent island, full of tidal waves, suicidal crazed lions. They're trying to eat my blood running down the chin, and I know that I can fight or I can let the lion win. I begin to assemble what weapons I can find, cause sometimes to stay alive you gotta kill your mind. Am I the only one I know waging my wars behind my face and above my throat? Shadows will scream that I'm alone, that we should take a day to break away from all the pain our brain has made. The game is not played alone, and I will say that we should take a moment and hold it and keep it frozen and know that life has a hopeful undertone. And I will say that we should take a day to break away from all the pain our brain has made. The game is not played alone, and I will say that we should take a moment and hold it and keep it frozen and know that life has a hopeful undertone. Am I the only one?
Now, go find the others.com.
You know, I have this saying I like to use, like, when in doubt, zoom out.
Can you high five this? Get it! When in doubt, zoom out.
Yeah.
Zoom out!